on 2FM.
Okay, now this is something I know absolutely nothing about. I'm told it's become very popular again, and I'm talking about knitting. Well, once you may have associated with school, I suppose if you're a girl, because it was mostly girls, let's be honest. But basically, you know, there's a knitting revival, and that's what I want to get to now. At least I'm told there's a knitting revival. Lisa Sisk is a co-owner of a shop called This Is Knit, and she's going to convert us all to knitters by the end of this item. That's the plan. If you think that's typical, a girl talking about knitting, you're wrong, because we have two guys here as well. Conor Hanratty is on the phone. Hello, Conor, how are you?
Good morning, how are
Good
you?
Good man yourself. And Mark Dwyer, who also likes to make things with yarn and sticks. Can I call it that?
Yes. Okay.
You didn't make that scarf, did you?
I did. This is my scarf.
Oh, really?
Make this scarf.
Did you?
Yes.
It's lovely.
Thank you.
It's very nice.
Yes, thank
it's very
you.
Nice. Okay, Lisa, I'm going to start with you. But yeah, okay, what are you knitting right now?
I'm knitting, well, this is my problem. I knit several things at once. I've got that sort of, my attention gets divided because I like to do lots of different techniques and to kind of have small things on the go and then a bigger thing that you dip in and out of as well. So I'm a very unfaithful knitter.
Is that the way it is?
It really depends on the form. Like, yeah, you can kind of say, okay, yeah, no, I'm freezing today, so I might work a little bit more on that cardigan that I know is going to keep me warm. Or like, I've my little 20-month-old son at home, so he gets a lot of my knitting now as well.
Oh,
so.
you do have a little one to do.
Yeah, I do. You know, he came along a lot later. The knitting started a good, maybe 12, 13 years ago now.
Right.
About maybe 3 years after that, I convinced my mum, first of all, to get back into knitting, and we decided there wasn't enough places to get knitting in Dublin or to get supplies. So we have the shop of 9.5 years.
And it's doing better, I presume, in the last 4 or 5 than it might have done in the first 4 or 5.
Yeah, it's grown every year, you know. So
all right, well, that's the point we're getting to here at the moment. Now, yeah. Mark, what are you knitting at the moment?
I am knitting, I started about 1.5 years ago on a pair of gloves that I haven't finished yet. Because I only knit for myself. And I knit for practical reasons, like I am cold and I need to have something to keep something warm. I wouldn't even call what I do knitting. It's kind of like putting the chimp behind a car and going, look at him driving the car. He's not really driving the car. I'm not really, when I say beside an actual knitter, like, I'm not really knitting.
But hold on a second, when you started, as you say, about 1.5 years ago or whatever, does that mean you started from scratch or did you have to get lessons?
No, I think I did what everybody else did. I knitted in school, in primary school. And yeah. Then about 3 or 4 years ago, I don't know why, I just decided I'd give it a go.
So can I just ask, what primary school did you go to?
They taught all the boys and girls in my school as well. It wasn't divided in any way, no.
Conor, help me out here. Did you do knitting in primary school?
I did not, no. There was no such thing happening there at all.
Right, certainly none in my school.
You're on Dave's side on this.
Yeah, right, okay. So, Conor, just tell me, I might as well, since I've asked the other two, what are you knitting at the moment?
At the moment, I'm making a scarf for a friend of mine. I made one scarf. It was the first thing I ever made, and then she happens to be a publicist, so she was very expressive and public with her gratitude. So now a bunch of people have also asked me to make more things, so I'll be busy till I don't know when. But I'm also making a blanket for my very new godson who was born in August.
Basically, if you spend so much time knitting, does that mean you don't spend a lot of time, say, watching box sets or doing other stuff that a lot of people do at home, like watching sport on television?
Well, I'm very, very new. I only started in April, so I'm only doing very uncomplicated things like knitting a whole load of things in one row, so it's not too difficult in terms of counting things or stitches or concentration. So, yes, actually, I kind of started it as something productive to do while I am watching box sets, because I probably watch too much telly. So now I have something productive and a product by the end of all of this watching. So
Lisa, do you have to watch what you do? Like if I'm typing, I'm one finger and I have to watch what I'm doing kind of thing, whereas other people can do 5,000 words a second kind of thing. Can you watch box sets?
I nearly find I can't watch box sets without having knitting on the go, you know? Like Conor said, that you want to be you know, just productive in your downtime as well, but in a relaxing way, you know? It's not a stressful process. It's about
and by the way, did you mentioned school, did you do knitting at school?
I did knitting at school.
What does do knitting at school mean? Like, what does that entail?
You made like little squares to sew up into teddy bears and things like that, you know. It was very basic, but I do remember actually really enjoying it as well. But I suppose it did very much go out of favour for a good decade there, if not more.
Well, I would imagine it's the 80s that killed it. Because I mean, like, people said, why would I even dream of doing something like that when you can buy the whole thing exactly in the shops? And that was like the first sort
of flush
of it.
Yeah, the advent of department stores definitely, because people would have very much looked at knitting. I mean, there's a big change in how it's viewed, because it was very much sort of, okay, this is part of the chores of the house and we have to do it maybe to clothe ourselves. And so as soon as that we were liberated from that, people stopped. And but now I think it's more about producing stuff in really nice materials and producing stuff that's customised to yourself and in your own colours, your own style and all that sort of stuff. So you can definitely take away. It's not, I've always said, we knit because we're cold, but we know we have the choice.
Mark, with you, was it in any way at all that there was something latent, there was something there, there was something you had done in the past and you obviously let it go for at least a decade, if not two or three or whatever, and then you suddenly realised that if I go back to doing this, which is part of what I used to do, I will not let, for instance, this, and I'm holding up a mobile phone, and I will not let sort of technology beat me.
No. Well, it's a fair... I love technology. No, for me, it was like, I like plain, simple clothes. I like a black T-shirt or a red shirt or whatever. And I couldn't get that. I couldn't get a simple scarf. And it's also a case of, why would I pay for something that I can possibly do myself? I just want an ordinary hat with no cherries or something on the side. I just want a hat. I'll just knit the hat then.
Okay, well, look, if you knit something and you make a mistake, do you leave that mistake in and would I see it in the finished product, or do you go back and start again?
It depends on how far it's
with the
that's
what I would have thought. Yeah, exactly.
If it's gone pretty far in, I'll leave it.
We call it a design feature.
Yeah. Because I'm not going to knit for anybody else. I knit for myself.
And Connor, then, let's just tell me, what does knitting do for you besides having a finished product at the end of it all? Explain to me the zen of it.
That's a good question. It is very repetitive and you do have to count and pay attention, but it is the same motion over and over again, and when you get it right and then you start seeing something emerging from this concentration that you have made yourself. I find it bizarrely hypnotic. I mean, I got into it by accidentally, and a friend asked me to try it and I thought it was the silliest thing in the world. But just seeing something emerging, like I said, I'm very, very basic at it. I can knit things in a straight line, so everything that comes out is sort of like a scarf. It's one long piece of material. I can't do anything more complicated. But then even seeing that appear from your work is a beautiful thing.
Okay, I would get the impression that you, Connor, maybe on one side, I don't know if you'd agree with Mark, but Mark, like, the desire for a handmade, high-quality garment is as much, is as important to you as the fact that you made it yourself.
Yeah, the fact that I made it isn't really that important.
Really?
No, I'm looking for a specific thing. I can find it in the shops.
But you should be proud of your ability to do that, to kind of take, essentially, like you say, sticks and string, and to construct them together in a way that gives you something, that is keeping your neck warm.
And it's not something I hide under a bushel either, but I'm not running around with my knitted gear going, look at me, isn't this amazing?
Okay, well then, answer me this, the whole lot of you, again, you can all pick this up. Is it a useful skill or is it a hobby for you guys?
Very much both, because it is used in a practical way. There's a lot of properties and stuff that you can, that wool and natural materials have that synthetics wouldn't, which is what's mostly available in the shops and stuff. So that's definitely the practical side of it. But the hobby side of it is, just for me, the enjoyment of working with that type of stuff and the zen, like Connor said, of sitting back and kind of seeing something take shape.
Okay, well, sitting back, the blokes are sitting back more in this conversation than you are. So I'm going to ask both of them. I mean, like, is there any slagging? I'll ask you first, Mark, since I'm facing you here. Any slagging at all from anybody? No.
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 Well, the only people that notice that I wear something that's knitted is another knitter that just go, oh, did you knit this? If I am,
you mean you don't go around with a badge saying I am a knitter? No,
well, you can't see the knitting tattoos, you can't see the t-shirts. Right. No, the only people that notice are other knitters, and they'll go, do you knit that? Myself, I did. And that's usually the end of the conversation. It's lovely. That's the
end. Lovely. Yeah, right. And what about you, Connor? I mean, you ever get slagged or anything?
No, not at all. The only thing that people have said to me is, oh, could you make me something? So, I don't know. It certainly, people might raise an eyebrow and go, really? Okay. And then usually the next thing they'll say is, tell me more. So, no, I don't think so.
When I say the 80s probably killed it, could I say the 90s and the growth of craft fairs and all that kind of thing, and people want something, not so much DIY, but authentic. That helps your business.
It does, yeah. I think there's, like, overall, if you see the things, like this revival in, I don't know, woodwork and revival in cookery, all the massive cookery programmes and sort of stuff. I think people, it's that nesting instinct, and maybe in response to the growth of technology and all that they want something more tangible, and to have that role in it, to kind of say, well, this is part of me in what I've done.
With you, Connor, is it addictive? Is it hard to put down? Like, yeah, are you right now saying, I wish this conversation was over because I want to get back to my knitting?
I would be lying if I said that I wasn't doing so when you rang, but I mean, I can stop whenever I want.
Are you involved in any of the kind of internet things? Let's face it, I mean, we haven't mentioned the internet per se, and do you watch how people do it, Connor, and say...
That's how I learned to knit, yes.
Oh, is it? YouTube
is bizarrely full of knitting videos in pretty much every language and everything. So when I do make a mistake or a design feature, if I don't want it to be a design feature, the first thing is I'm probably on YouTube panicking, asking, how do I undo this damage I've done? And everything is there. Every question possible can be answered there.
You don't happen to be a member of Knitlist, do you?
I'm afraid I don't. Can you tell me more about it?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's an online knitting thing. Or how about, have you ever bought the online magazine called KnitNet?
I have not, but you're opening my eyes.
Lisa, have you bought KnitNet?
I think it's Knitty. Is it Knitty.com?
No idea.
there's an online, it's a quarterly free pattern magazine called Knitty, Knitty.com. And that's been around probably as long as I've been knitting now, reviving. But there's also, I suppose the most popular one would be Ravelry, which, Connor, I think you do know.
Which
it's a huge, again, a global phenomenon. And it is almost got
Ravelry.
Ravelry, yeah.
And are crocheters welcome?
They are more than welcome, as are weavers. And spinners and all fibre crafts basically are welcome there, you know. People often maybe complain to me that they might spend a bit too much time on Ravelry and not enough time knitting then, you know.
Right. Do you know that there's some kind of a knitting Olympics?
Yes.
During the Winter Olympics about 10 years ago, they had a knitting thing. You start something at the very beginning, they wanted to look, Mark looking at me going, oh, that's a step
like,
too far.
I just
far.
Wanted a
Can
scarf.
Can I step Can out I for help? A second? Yeah, I just wanted a scarf. Yeah. But like, seriously, there is. And like, yeah. They started something at the beginning of the Olympics and they wanted everybody to, what, add to it or something?
Yeah, you could earn medals for, you know, like you tackle virtual medals now, like little buttons that you put on your blog and things. But they were like, you know, okay, my challenge is I'm going to try a technique that I've never tried before, or I'm going to try and knit a full sweater or a full garment during the course of what length is the Olympics, I'm not sure, but so there was different categories you could enter and you could go in as teams, and there was Team Ireland and there was, you know, all this sort of stuff. But it was all in great fun, but it was great sort of just, yeah, challenging
Mark,
yourself.
Try a technique that I've never tried before, as Elise says. Have you ever tried different techniques, or did you know there were different techniques?
You see, I vaguely remember what I learned in school, and then everything after that was YouTube. And
yeah.
and I
you're YouTube as well.
I was YouTube, yeah. And I do a thing going, I wonder if I did this, or surely there must be a way that you can touch it. And I tried, I go, oh, yeah, that worked. And then later on, I go on YouTube, oh, that's called a pearl, or that's called a whatever.
Right.
So, I have. I mean, like, I do like to. Now, that was a mistake that I continued. I started one way.
You should see this scarf, it's lovely.
Picked it up. And started another way.
And
didn't realise, I don't pattern. I said, oh, that's a feature, and I'll just keep doing that. Remember, I had to do that. Do I try different things all the time? No, I don't think so.
But it is a learning problem. Like, are you better now than you were a year ago, say?
Faster.
Were you better at school, or are you just relearning?
I think in school I just sat down and made a metre a year, like a mile and a half of long sock. Whereas now it's like, no, I need it to be this, I need it to be this. But there's a when you're knitting, there's a tack. When the two needles come together, when you pull them, the wool out, it tacks, 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 tacks. And it's like a little percussive piece. And you kind of get into that. So you're like, I knit for purpose, but at the same time you can kind of go, this is nice. And you know, like listening to a little song, and like a transcendental meditation thing where you just like knit a scarf at the end.
Wow. Okay, that's like Tom Hanks talking about his, you know, Tom Hanks collects typewriters, old typewriters. He loves that. He loves the sound.
Is he just doing that, or is he actually typing something?
I think he just likes the sound. He does it every day to himself. He's got about 400 typewriters, it seems.
No,
bet you didn't know that.
No.
Okay, Connor, what about you then in terms of that? Like, are you better than you used to be? Like, do you get better at this thing? And not just faster?
Well, I think better is faster, but you get more confident, you get sort of less concerned with getting the same tension and the same loop of the fabric through every single time. That becomes second nature, so that's, it's even, and your work looks like it's done by somebody who knows what they're doing, which I'm starting to see.
Right, and on the YouTube stuff, it doesn't matter about which language you look at, provided you see something that you think might kind of appeal to you and you go with that, and you can see with the pictures, you don't need some Chinese person telling you something you don't understand, it doesn't matter.
Well, it's usually a video demonstration, so you can see exactly what they're doing, and they zoom in and you can see what their fingers do, and I'm a lefty, but I'm able to flip it and get it right nonetheless.
Tell me, Lisa, I would imagine since the whole world is geared towards righties, lefties are always giving out the kithogs and they'd be right as well.
Is
it difficult?
There's
a
couple of different methods for teaching. Let's
Paul
say,
McCartney turns the guitar upside down.
You do?
You adapt, you know. And my mum is left-handed as well, but she knits in, like some left-handers would just knit with the yarn in the right hand. And actually there's two main different schools of knitting, which is what they call continental knitting and English style knitting. So some left-handed knitters would probably find that the continental style is more appropriate.
Dare I ask, what's the difference?
It's just about which hand you hold the yarn
in.
Yeah.
By the way, are you part in any way at all, Connor, of what I might call an online knitting or crochet community? Are you part of one?
I joined Ravelry to try and get free patterns, and I got some, but I'm not particularly.
Whoa,
I'm not a
second, I love this. I was asking that as a joke. Wait a minute. So you're in Ravelry, and you got some free patterns as kind of an introductory offer.
Yes, actually.
They were. I love it. It's great. Okay. Have you tried any of the yarn bombing stuff? I'm really getting into this now because I've been told this. Do you know what yarn bombing is now?
Yeah.
Do you?
I do.
Oh my God. What is it, Lisa?
Yarn bombing is sort of decorating like public spaces.
Yeah,
with,
it's graffiti with for knitters.
It's soft and cuddly graffiti, you know?
Right.
Is it knitting around a tree?
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Marcus, I'd be interested in that. The next step.
There's been a few things over, the last couple of years. I know there was a large mobile phone company that did one as a
This is pre-knitted, though. They're not literally knitting around the tree.
They're not literally. No. The pieces were knitted up and assembled around the tree.
At 2 o'clock in the morning. All right, well, look, finally, folks, what we're talking about here is just knitting because of the reasons that you want to knit. I just want to know, though, are you all involved in some kind of a thing in Dublin that you go to knitting nights or anything like that, or do you do any of that? Mark is saying no. What about you, Connor?
Absolutely not, I'm afraid. It's me in the box sets and the
You need to set up a bloke's knitting night.
And Lisa, how about you? Do you go to things? Do you teach people?
We teach people, in the shop. There's loads of different sessions for different levels. This is Knit. We're in the Paris Court Townhouse Centre, straight in the middle of Dublin.
Straight in the middle of Dublin there. All right, okay, well, This Is Knit it is. Lisa Siss, thanks a million for talking to us.
Thank you.
Conor Hanratty and Mark Dwyer, and happy knitting. And don't forget, Christmas is around the corner, so you have a lot of presents to get together. Thanks, folks.
Cheers.
Bye. Thank you.